The opening notes of Tchaikovsky's ballet The Nutcracker conjure images of sugar plum fairies and princes, epic battles of dancing mice, and ranks of elegant snowflakes on point. It's also become one of the telltale signs of the upcoming holiday season, and arguably the most popular ballet in modern history. But could Tchaikovsky have known what he was offering to the world when he composed this music only 1 year before his death in 1892? I'm Aaron Ingebreth, and I'm joined today for a cultural conversation with Nell Shipman, the artistic and executive director of Portland Ballet, and Milena Hartog, who's a professional dancer with the company and serves as the assistant to the director. They're here to talk with me about how Tchaikovsky's music serves as a guide to the creative process of their own upcoming annual production, The Victorian Nutcracker. Now, that's become a main holiday tradition and a family favorite, and it places the classic tale in Victorian-era Portland. Portland Ballet's production returns to Portland's Merrill Auditorium and to the Westbrook Performing Arts Center beginning on December 17th. Nell Shipman, Milena Hartog, I really appreciate you coming in, especially because I know you're currently knee-deep in rehearsals for The Nutcracker. So can you tell us what's going on right now in the Portland Ballet Studios?
Well, we are knee-deep is a good way to put it. All the choreography is set and everyone is tying everything together, making sure the scenes come together seamlessly and just that thread of the story is present throughout.
Now, The Nutcracker was Tchaikovsky's third and final ballet, and he wasn't especially pleased with the music at first, but it's undeniably a piece that brings in audiences who are sometimes primarily fans of Tchaikovsky's music, but aren't necessarily regular ballet patrons. In all of your experience, what do you think accounts for its popularity?
No matter how many times you hear it, you can always find something new in the familiar. But then when you actually go and hear the orchestra play it, you can always find something new within it. So it's this nice mixture of the familiar, but also being able to experience something new each time.
At Merrill Auditorium, the Portland Ballet will be performing The Nutcracker with live orchestra. But you rehearse for months to a recording of Tchaikovsky's music. And I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about what must be a magical moment when the dancers take that stage for the first time in a rehearsal with the orchestra, and the predictability of the rehearsal recording gives way to live orchestral musicians with maybe a slightly different tempo here, different phrasing there.
Well, that's part of ballet, is that it's alive in every aspect. There's a real sense of excitement. We're ready to take it on. We have a wonderful orchestra that plays with us. They're fantastically consistent, but also incredibly alive and giving. It's great because it connects the dancers differently to each other, and it also connects us to the musicians in a really unique way, which is great when you hit the stage, because when you do the Nutcracker every year, you do it every year, you know? So it's great to have these little bits and pieces that come out right at performance time to make it special and different each time you head out there.
Has that been your experience as well, Milena? And when did you first encounter the piece?
I actually haven't danced a Nutcracker that many times because growing up where I lived in the Netherlands, we only got to perform it twice as a child, whereas in the U.S., oftentimes children get to perform it year over year. So I really only started performing it on a regular basis when I turned 18. This is probably my sixth Nutcracker. But yes, I think what Nell was saying about connecting everything together is so true. The dancers, we've been rehearsing together for months and months now, like you mentioned. But the music ties it all together and makes it a whole. So when you have the orchestra there, you just feel this deeper sense of connection to the stage, the theater, and also in a sense the audience. It kind of breaks that tie between the dancers being on stage, the audience being over there, and it makes you just feel like you are one with the theater, I would say. So yeah, it's a very special experience.
I'm talking today with Nell Shipman, the artistic and executive director of Portland Ballet, and Milena Hartog, who's a professional dancer with the company and serves as the assistant to the director. Their annual production of The Victorian Nutcracker will be performed at Merrill Auditorium and the Westbrook Performing Arts Center on December 17th. The Nutcracker is a ballet that has roles for the most accomplished of dancers, but also for young dancers who might be stepping onto the stage for the very first time and experiencing this music for the very first time. What are some of the ways that you talk about Tchaikovsky's music with your dancers, with your co-creators?
Well, I think a very important thing that was brought up to us actually by a conductor a few years ago is that we are the storytellers. And it's good for all of the dancers to hear that, you know, whether it's their first Nutcracker or their 101st Nutcracker, that, you know, we are the ones who are taking the music and showing it to the audience in a story form instead of them hearing it in their own imaginations, creating something. So I think it's really important to remind everybody, the youngest and the oldest, to really tap into their imagination and let it guide you as, you know, you're interpreting the music through dance, because you can get really bogged down in the technicalities of it and in the counting of the music and the phrasing of the music. And sometimes it's important to sing along with it in your head as you're performing, because then before you know it, you know, you've become part of the music and you're telling the story through the movement. And it's pretty cool.
Do you hear some of the dancers humming the various tunes and things throughout the hallway?
Yes. I hum it constantly. While I'm sitting at the front of the studio and I'm rehearsing it, if you're sitting next to me, I'm constantly humming it. So it's great.
I would guess by the time you're close to opening night, you're probably dreaming in Nutcracker at that point too.
Oh, yes.
Definitely. And you hear it at the mall. You hear it in drugstores. You hear the music everywhere. But somehow it never gets old when you're performing it.
It definitely doesn't to me. I love the piece. I never get tired of it, and I've become a fan of ballet over the years. And the Nutcracker was definitely my entry point into it, as it is for probably many, many people. And I'm sure that's probably a story you've heard before.
Yes, a lot of people come to the Nutcracker and for, you know, just because it's a holiday tradition. And that's kind of, you know, their first step into ballet, where they realize that this is it's extremely entertaining, it's extremely moving, and it's really accessible and understandable. And I think it's great that the Nutcracker can be something that the whole family can go to and find this out together.
Tchaikovsky composed the Nutcracker only a year before his death, and he was at the apex of his musical powers. And the score is, I've heard it described actually, like a Christmas fruitcake full of sweets. And I asked you if you could identify a couple of your favorite sweets within the piece. This is one of them that you told me about, and I'm wondering if you can sort of describe what we're hearing in this section.
Well, that's, you know, the Sugar Plum Fairy, the Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairy. And probably one of the most recognizable pieces from the Nutcracker. And it's great because when you hear it, it's a little bit mysterious. And it's a little bit, it's exciting, but not in a, you know, running down the stairs in Christmas morning type of exciting. It's exciting because it awakens something in you. And if I can, I'd like to share with you all a story about that I work with the dancers on when they're doing the Sugar Plum variation. And for a long time, I wasn't quite sure why it was mysterious and why it kind of got under your skin the way it does. But one of my most important teachers, I was in on a rehearsal once, and I heard him describing this or telling this story to my fellow dancer who was performing the Sugar Plum that year. And the story of the Sugar Plum is really about it's about the magic and it's about the sweetness and all of the good things that come with it. But I think it speaks more to the adults than it does to the kids in a weird way, because the Sugar Plum comes out and she introduces herself and all of the kids get really excited in the audience. But she's talking to everyone. She's saying, "I'm the Sugar Plum Fairy, and you know, I come in your dreams, and I'm part of your imagination and your hopes and what you aspire to be." But to the adults in the audience, "You know me and I know you, because I was with you when you were little, and I was with you during those imagination periods and during those different periods of growth. And I'm still in there somewhere. So when you see me, you're seeing you as well as a little kid." And it's really it's really moving when you think of it that way. It's really charming and it's really special for children who are seeing it. But I think for the adults, the reason why it touches you so deeply is because you do have the chance to remember all of those important things from when you were a kid.
That's what Nutcracker is. It's all of your holiday memories, whether it's your first time seeing it, you're making memories, or whether you've seen it a million times before. It's bringing all those memories back to life. And I think that's what makes it special.
I'm talking with Nell Shipman, the Artistic and Executive Director of the Portland Ballet, and Milena Hartog, who is a professional dancer with the company and serves as the assistant to the director. We're talking about their annual production of the Victorian Nutcracker, which will be performed at Merrill Auditorium and Westbrook Performing Arts Center on December 17th. Well, a more general question for you also. It pertains to Nutcracker, but other ballets as well. Tchaikovsky composed this music specifically for classical dance, but there are now lots of musical scores that are composed simply for the concert hall, which do become choreographed over time. So what makes a piece of music particularly tempting for you as choreographers or for you as dancers? Is there something inherent in a specific type of music that you think, that's ballet worthy? That's something I could choreograph?
Well, on a very basic level, having a certain rhythm, more so than melody, I think helps you envision dancing, just because we are taught as dancers to count music a certain way. But with more contemporary works especially, you have such a variety of music that is being danced to. So it's really which piece inspires you as a choreographer first, I would say. But I think I'm going to give this one to Nell, since she is really our resident choreographer in addition to all she does as director.
Yeah, that is a tricky question, and I think it is specific what some music, you know, I would never in a million years be able to dream of something. I can see another person's work, and it's so vivid and so clear that, and that's one of the great things about art in general, is that, you know, each individual can take their own take on it. But yeah, like Milena was saying, I think, you know, the rhythm and the and all of that is very important, and also just the flow of it, the flow of whatever the music is, in terms, not only in terms of technicalities and technical importance, but just how it speaks to you, and if you're able to really just dig into your imagination and dig into yourself and see where you can match up with that music.
What was your first experience with the Nutcracker?
Oh, my gosh. See, it's kind of funny because I'm a little bit like Milena in the sense that I have not been doing this since I was very, very little. My first performance of the Nutcracker, the full performance of the Nutcracker, was at Butler University in Indianapolis, and I was about 17 years old, and I was a soldier, and I was a soldier that loaded the cannon, and it was a very important job, and it was a lot of fun, I think that I was very excited that no matter what I was doing within that show, I knew how important it was, you know, because when you see the Nutcracker, so many things speak to you, and so many things are really, really important to the story. And that's what I felt. I felt like, yeah, I'm doing a really important thing, marching out on this stage and getting that cannon ready to be shot at the Mouse King, because it makes so much of the story, you know, move on to the next. And I think that was something that I noticed right off the bat. I know I was older, but I noticed right off the bat that there are everything you do on that stage is important, and it's exciting to be a part of.
Oh, and what a wonderful thing to pass on to all the dancers, you know, regardless of whether they have 20, 30 minutes dancing on stage or a relatively short, you know, moment, about how every part is so pivotal. Milena, how about you? What was your first experience with it?
So I must have seen Nutcracker when I was fairly young, but performing, I was about 10 years old, and I was a party girl and a mouse that first year. And it was, like Nell said, it was so exciting, and you fell in love with every part of it. And I was thinking about this the other day. Doing that Nutcracker truly was one of my favorite experiences in my lifetime, I think. I have such fond memories of it. But it wasn't just the part of being on stage. Yes, that was fantastic and such an adrenaline rush, and really a feeling that you can't really describe. But I think I fell in love then with the whole process of being in the theater, preparing for getting ready in hair and makeup, hanging out with your friends, having so much energy and excitement building up to that moment when you do step on stage, but having that internal calmness of, you know, can't go too crazy when I'm out there. Warming up in the cold theater part, that whole experience, that's Nutcracker is when I fell in love with that. And I haven't ever wanted to turn away from that. So, yeah, it was life-changing in a sense. And it's so great, I think, that we give so many kids that opportunity year over year. And hopefully they feel the same way every time they're in the theater.
Do you see some evidence of that? Do you see some sparks
absolutely.
Of inspiration?
100%, yes.
We've had a lot of parents say that the Nutcracker really, really, you know, got us in because she did the Nutcracker last year and now she's ready to come back and do it all again and do it all again. So it's really important and formative that the dancers are all in there working together. It's another one of those ballets too where the youngest dancers or the newest dancers, even if they're not the youngest, some of the newest ones on stage are in there with some of the most accomplished dancers, just seeing how it's done and understanding that this is real. This is really what you get to do as a dancer and as an artist, and you get to bring all this to life.
And some of the kids that we have auditioned for our production, they're a little bit older, maybe mid-teens and such. We have kids from all over Maine, even New Hampshire, audition for the production. And they might have seen the show in a previous year and were so inspired to do it themselves. So that's always really exciting to see as well.
Will you tell me a little bit about the Victorian Nutcracker? What makes the Portland Ballet's production different than, say, another Nutcracker you might come across?
Well, it's specific to Portland's history because the Act One party scene takes place in the front parlor of the Victoria Mansion. So the backdrop and the set pieces and everything are inspired based on the actual building that you can go and visit down in Portland. And then our characters, the party parents, and actually our Clara is named Olivia, and this is all after the Morses, the Kochmars, the Baxters, the Browns. These are all people that you see on stage in so the setting is Victorian. The dress for the party scene is very Victorian, and but also the characters in the party scene are based on actual historical people from Portland's history.
So this is local and specific to Maine.
It certainly is. Yes, it's definitely the classic story of the Nutcracker. There's still a Nutcracker Prince. There's still a Mouse King. There's still a Sugar Plum Fairy. But there are different things throughout that tie it to specifically the Victoria Mansion and Portland's rich, rich history.
Now, you had mentioned another part of the Nutcracker music that spoke to you particularly. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, I'd love to. It's actually the very end of the ballet. I believe it's called the Apotheosis, and it's right at the end of the finale after this big, grand re-entrance of all of the characters who have been at this party for, you know, for Olivia and her eccentric godfather, and they've presented all of their gifts, and then they're getting ready to say goodbye. And our Olivia finds herself kind of on the couch in her living room, and her aunt comes in and says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I fell asleep, but I had a magical dream." She says, "Okay, it's time to come back to bed." And then Olivia says, "But can I go grab my Nutcracker?" And her aunt says, "Of course you can." And so she runs back and has one more moment before she yawns and falls asleep again. And the Sugar Plum and the Nutcracker appear behind her, you know, as though, was this a dream? Was this real? We'll have to find out. But really with that music, every year when those chords hit, I get extremely emotional, and it took me a while to figure out why. I mean, besides the fact that it's just gorgeous and lush and all of the things that you would ever hope for in a finale. But I realized it's kind of what I was talking about before with the Sugar Plum, is that there comes this really quiet part right before the final chords where, again, it's a little bit dreamy and a little bit mysterious, and it excites you in a kind of strange way. And then when those final chords hit, it's so grand and it's so moving. And to me, it's the realization, now that I'm an adult and I have children of my own, that it's one of those things where that's the moment where I really truly tap into my imagination and I really truly tap into my childhood and I really truly remember how important all of those childhood inspirations and dreams and imaginations were but still are. And it just gets thrown at me in those last chords. And every year, every show, I just stand in the wings, extremely emotional, of course proud, of course relieved, of course all of those things that happen at the end of a show, but just aware of the story of the Nutcracker and why it is important.
Well, for why it's important and for all the kids who are dancing in it as well as the professionals, thank you for this holiday gift that the Portland Ballet is offering to everyone in the community all throughout Maine and the entire region, in fact. I'm joined today for a cultural conversation with Nell Shipman, the Artistic and Executive Director of Portland Ballet, and Milena Hartog, who is a professional dancer with the company and serves as the assistant to the director. They've been here talking with me today about their production of the Victorian Nutcracker, a Maine holiday tradition and family favorite. It places the classic tale in Victorian-era Portland. And their production returns to Portland's Merrill Auditorium and to the Westbrook Performing Arts Center beginning December 17th. Nell Shipman, Milena Hartog, thanks so much for being with us today on Maine Public Classical.
Thank you.
Thank you.